For the children are come to the birth, and there is not strength to bring forth. Do you know what Jesus Christ said to Nicodemus? He said, you must be born again. The Bible says in Peter that we're born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. That is the word of the Lord that liveth and abideth forever. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. John talks about being born of God. Paul talks about us being little children. And he says, I want to look at this statement where he says, for the children are come to the birth, and there's not strength to bring forth. Christ said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, he said, come ye after me, and I will make you fishers of men. Fishers of men. When someone gets saved, it's likened to a birth. And a lot of times there's labor pains involved in that. And a lot of times there's a doctor or a nurse or a midwife close by. Oftentimes there's a husband or a relative standing by being more less of a help than a problem sometimes. When a person gets saved, it's likened to a birth. And sometimes there can be some difficulties involved. But I want to speak to you for just a few minutes this morning on how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, our Father. Why? Because we're born into your family. Thank you. Thank you. We ask you in the name of our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, to fill us this morning. Open our eyes to understand. Give us ears to hear. May we take your words to heart. May please strengthen, embolden us, and give us confidence in this greatest of works. And we do need you. You said, lo, I am with you always. We know you're with us this morning, and we know you're with us when we walk out of here. We believe that. I trust your word where you said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And I trust your word where you said, lo, I am with you always, when you told us to go into all the world. And so I know you're with us. Help us to see that today. I know that our dear folks here have come in this morning with all different sorts of things on their mind and in their hearts. Some, even unknown to me, maybe very grievous things. People dealing with stress and people dealing with problems at home, many things. But Father, we know that your word gives life and it renews us. It gives us strength. It washes us. It's like just taking a shower after being out in the dirt all day. It just, you feel new and fresh and ready to go at it again. And I pray you give that to us this morning. We ask for it. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. I want you to look here at John chapter 1. And we're going to look at a few verses this morning. And I want to talk about how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. And what I mean by that is how to present the gospel in a clear way in the scriptures. When a person understands, so a person can understand what it means to trust Jesus and is given the opportunity to receive him. You can't, and I'm not going to deal with all of the tactics of, you know, fishing for men, of which there are many. I'm not going to talk about trolling or fly fishing or all these type of things. That's another sermon. I'm going to talk more just about the actual point where you're with somebody, maybe a family member or maybe on this missions trip. That's one of the reasons I'm doing it, trying to give you some tools this morning, where you can talk to someone else about how to be saved. I don't know about you, but I want the people I know and love to be saved. And when I'm right with God, when my heart is right, when I'm walking with the Lord, I want other people that I don't know and love to be saved. Because the Lord's not willing that any should perish. And I believe that's the heart of every Christian. I just think we get cold sometimes. And I'm not going to preach this morning on getting cold and not caring about people. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about it when you're in that situation where you have someone that you're dealing with, right? And that you feel is close to that point where they would make a decision for Christ. I'm going to give you some tools on how to bring forth, right? How to set the hook. Does that make sense? Good. And you can't force someone to be saved. You can't force them. John chapter 1. It's an act of the will. It's an act of the will. I've said it before. God Almighty, the creator of the universe, right? The providential God who knows all things, yet will never assume the throne of a person's heart without invitation. That's an amazing thing to think about, but it's true. John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, verse 11, he came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as, what's the next verse? Received him, right? Yeah, right? A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still, right? You can convince someone in an argument. You can get a person to a point where they don't have anything to say, but it has to be an act of the will. It has to be an act of the will. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. So it doesn't matter if your parents were Christians. That doesn't get passed down through the genes. Well, my parents were saved. Doesn't matter. You're not born of blood, right? You're not born of the will of the flesh, right? You can't just by self-discipline stop sinning and become a Christian, right? You're not born of the will of the flesh. And you're not born of the will of man. I can't make you a Christian. I can't come and do a sign on you. I can't sprinkle you. I can't make you born again, right? You're born of what? You're born of God. You're born of God. It's a supernatural thing. And when you get to lead someone to Jesus Christ, you're part of a supernatural thing. I just had my first grandbaby. And these three went over for that. Blair and Addie and Jaden. They were all in on it. You know? And, you know, of course, Grandma's been through it before. Blair's been through it before. But, you know, it was a new thing for my two daughters. And they had different reactions. They had different reactions. I mean, even Addie's looking at me right now because I know she says it was. I'm traumatized. That's what she said. And Jaden, a little more of a hippie, she's like, it was beautiful, you know. So, you know what I'm saying? I'm more toward the traumatized part. I'm more toward the traumatized part. I'll be fine never seeing that again. But I will tell you this: when that baby comes into the world, it's a miracle. You just can't even believe it. That was in there. And it's got all its fingers and toes, and it's alive, and it's created by God. It's just it's an emotional thing. It's a miracle every time a child is born. And what, you know, how their head, that head is soft, and it has those plates that slide over each other so that they can fit through the birth canal, and then it pops right back. Yeah, isn't evolution amazing? Isn't it amazing? What is that? That's God. Just take everywhere where they say evolution and survival of the fittest and just insert God. All right, that's about it right there. All right, and take everywhere where they say millions of years and just put God in there. Just cut out millions of years, just put God. Right? And it's a beautiful thing. And when someone gets saved, it's a miracle. And when someone trusts Christ, you know that you just witnessed a miracle. It's an act of the free will, but I want you to go to Romans chapter 10. I want you to go to Romans chapter 10, but they must hear. You got to hear. You got to hear. You know, it's just a classic. People are like, oh, you know, it was so great. You know, we were at this event and so-and-so got up and gave the gospel. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm so glad. Right? Someone so gave the gospel. Sometimes I'll go back and listen to it, and I never hear the gospel. I never hear the gospel. They mentioned Jesus. That's not giving the gospel. Amen. Oh, they talked about God. What a blessing. The devil talks about God. Right? Okay? I'm talking about the gospel that saves. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. In verse 13, the Bible says this, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How shall they then call on him in whom they have not believed? How are you going to call on someone you don't believe on? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How can you believe on someone you never heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Without a preacher, you say, oh, well, there you go, pastor. There you go. That's your verse. No. Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus, right? Hey, they that were scattered abroad of the circumcision, right? Acts chapter 8, verse 4, went everywhere preaching the word. Who preaches? Everybody preaches. That doesn't mean that you go to work and stand up and say, hey, everybody! That's not, that preaching is, you know how you know you're preaching? When you start talking to someone about Jesus, what do they say to you? Stop preaching to me. Stop preaching. Oh, he's preaching now. No, I'm just talking to you about the Lord. Right? Preach means to proclaim. To proclaim. You can do it on a street corner, but you can do it one-on-one. You can do it in the work truck. You can do it while you're working. Amen. Do guys like to gab while they work? Oh, that's what makes the day go by faster. Amen. So you can lead in, right, with that. But faith comes. Now look what he says. How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. You can have beautiful feet. You know, people are all weird about their feet. I know people that, like, I walk around barefoot. I love it. I hate that I'm wearing shoes right now, right? But some people, they don't like their feet. They think they're ugly, you know? But you can have beautiful feet if you tell people about Christ. That's what he says. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. Some of you got some scary feet. But none of you have a toe as big as mine. I got a toe, it looks like a cartoon where someone hit it with a hammer and it's all red and big and throbbing. That's what my big toe looks like. And if God can love my feet, he can love yours. But what makes your feet beautiful is when you preach the gospel of peace. That book says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now look what it says, verse 16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For as Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed their report? So they have to hear. People have to hear. And you know what the Bible says? It says, faith cometh by hearing, verse 17, and hearing by the what? Did you just remember that? You say, well, I'm working with a guy, man, this guy is well-versed in his religion, right? Well, in that, you know, and he's not convinced of anything, fine. You know what you do once in a while? You just slip in a Bible verse. You just quote about why, because that Bible is likened to a sword. Right? It's likened to a seed that gets planted and grows later. It's likened to a fire or a hammer that breaks the hard heart in pieces. So, you know, you got people you work with, you're like, Pastor, I don't know if they're ever going to get saved. No, but every once in a while, you can just quote a Bible verse. And over time, that word begins to work because it's the word of God. And don't think it doesn't. Don't think it doesn't. It does. And it'll bear fruit. It'll bear fruit. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now, I'm saying that, but this morning I'm talking more about bringing someone across the line. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. What is the gospel? What is the gospel? You know? For the gospel, the gospel, the message that saves, okay? The message that brings about salvation, Paul defines it very distinctly. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse 1, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which ye also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. So Paul's saying this. This is the gospel by which you're saved. Now he says, if you remember what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about keeping the gospel in your memory. It's a suppositive type grammar there where he's saying, if you remember what I said. You say that when you're talking to people, right? Now listen, this is what you do. If you remember, I told you to disconnect the battery before you change the alternator. It's that type of phrase there, right? All right, look what he says in verse 3. He says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. All right, here's the gospel. How that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried, and rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel in its simplest form, right? That's gospel. You know what that word gospel means? It means good news. Good news. And the gospel is Christ died, but not just that Christ died. And not just that Christ died for us. You got to get this. Christ died for our what? Sins, because that's the problem. The problem is sin, right? Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again. That's the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ for our sins. That's the gospel in its most basic form. The gospel is not, well, make Christ a part of your life, you'll do way better at work. Make Christ a part of your life. You know, one of the things I did here as we sit here at the Hilton Garden Inn Conference Center is I have to tell you that on the way to making my first million, I made God a big part of my life. Oh, Pastor, it was so good. He gave the gospel. Right? He didn't give the gospel. God's a genie in a bottle that helps him buy his next car. You know? And that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. Now, I want you... You know what being born again isn't? Being born again is not getting baptized. You ask people, are you born again? Are you saved? Well, I got baptized. That's not born again. You don't get baptized to get saved. You get baptized because you're saved. Acts chapter 16, verse 31. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, did they get baptized? Sure, they got baptized. Okay, but it's like this. And you got to remember this. He that gets in the car this morning will end up at Sunrise Baptist Church. All right? He that gets in the car this morning and puts his seatbelt on will end up at Sunrise Baptist Church. Okay? Some people get in the car and they put your seatbelt on, which they should, right? But if you get in your car and you don't put the seatbelt on, you're still going to end up in the same place, right? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. All right? It's the believing that saves you. Right? Now, should you get baptized? Absolutely. Right? You can't grow. You can't grow until you get baptized. But baptism is not salvation. You get baptized and you haven't trusted Jesus Christ by an act of your free will, you just got wet. You just got wet. Like Brother Gipp says, you'll just singe a little, drop it into hell. You know? And that's real nice. Okay? I had to bring him back, you know? He's like, oh, nuts, I didn't fit that one in. You know? Getting baptized. Listen, salvation is not taking communion, right? It's not taking that bread and that wine. That's not salvation. Christ is speaking figuratively. He tells you that. It's the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Well, I took communion, right? That's the sacraments don't save you. Faith in Christ saves you. Okay? That's stuff you do because you're saved. Salvation is not asking God into your life. There's never been a time when God wasn't in your life. God's always been in your life. You don't make God, I mean, you can make, that's great to ask Him into your life. That's great to ask Him to help you. All right? I'm doing it with Him now, you know? I'm doing it with Him now. I was having marriage problems and now my marriage is better because I'm going to church. That's great. But that's not salvation. That's not salvation. All right, look at Ephesians chapter 1. You got to know this. Why? Because you'll ask people if they're saved. You ask if you're a Christian, and they'll say yes, and they have no idea what you're talking about. To them, it means I've always believed. To them, it means, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Yeah, I mean, I believe, yeah, He fed the 5,000. He, you know, He died on the cross. Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Okay, a lot of people believe in Jesus. There's a head knowledge of Jesus, but you need to make Him your Savior. Ephesians chapter 1, look what he says in verse 13. He says, verse 12, excuse me, he says this, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ. Trusted in Christ. You know what the difference between here and here is? Right? Between just knowing and trusting? It's like this. I believe that that chair, I know this, I know some of you have heard this before, but it's okay. And you can use all this stuff. I believe that that chair will hold me up. I believe if I sit on it, I'm not going to crash to the floor. Now, I'm older and I'm heavy, and the weight on me is like cement that won't come off, though I treadmill every day. But I believe it, theoretically, I understand it, but I'm not trusting it until I actually sit in it. Now I'm trusting it. Yep, it's holding me up. And that's the difference between just knowing about Christ and believing Him, right? You're trusting Him for salvation. Not while I'm a pretty good person, while I keep the Ten Commandments, while I'm kind to animals, while I donate to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation. That's all good stuff. But you're trusting Jesus Christ to make you righteous before God. All right, now, and sometimes when you ask people, are you a Christian if you're saved, they don't even know what you're talking about. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I'm conservative, right? You know, I take my hat off at the rodeo where they pray in Jesus' name. I'm a Christian. Right? Right. No, you're not. I mean, you might be a Christian, but that not because of that. It's a new birth. It's something spiritual that happens inside of you where the Holy Spirit of God, the creator of the universe, comes into your heart and takes up residence and never leaves. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Okay, and so he says this, he says, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, so you got someone, and you feel the time is right. You feel like the time is right to talk to them about it. All right, now sometimes a lead-in is what you need. Sometimes a lead-in is what you need, depending on the situation. All right, and the more you do it, the easier it gets. But, you know, you can ask all sorts of questions. Where are you at right now with God? Where are you at in your spiritual journey, right? If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? That's the old evangelism explosion question, you know, and that works with some people. Right? If they say, yeah, I think I'd know, you'd say, well, how do you know that? And if they tell you it's because of this, this, or that, then you got to know the scriptures I was baptized. Well, then you got to know the scriptures, right? Well, I took communion. Well, I've always been saved. Well, no, that's not true. You must be born again, right? John chapter 3. There's a lot of lead-ins, but you got to get to the point where whatever it is that you use to lead in, you got to get to the point where you can ask, would you let me show you some scriptures where you could know for sure? And here's where you can start. Look at 1 John chapter 5. When someone tells you, I don't know for sure that I'm born again. You know, you ask people this. And there's people that are saved that don't have assurance. I understand that. I understand there's people that are born again, but they've never been taught assurance of salvation. I get that. All right, but look at 1 John chapter 5. And by the way, it's better to check the parachute twice before jumping out of the plane. Amen. No problem with that. You say, well, you know, I prayed when I was really young and I'm not sure. You know what? Just do it again. Just square it up. If you feel you need to do that, that's okay. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't play around with that. You wouldn't play around with hell because of your pride? What in the world? All right. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Look what he says here in verse 13. He says this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. That's a great verse. You know why that book was written? You know why the book of 1 John was written? So you can know. Right? That's, you know what religion doesn't give? It doesn't give confidence in salvation. It just says, well, you know, do this, do this, do this, and keep doing this, and keep confessing, and keep loving your neighbor, and maybe, one of these days when you die, you're going to get up to St. Peter's gate, right? And they're going to weigh your good and they're going to weigh your bad. And if your good outweighs the bad, well, then welcome in. And if your bad outweighs the good, you go to somewhere else. Right? Yeah. They don't know for sure. That book was written that you can know for sure. You can know. I don't know a lot of things. I know a lot less now than I knew when I was 21. I'll tell you that much. I'd like to go back in time. I'd like to talk to my 21-year-old self. I'd like to sit at his feet and learn of him, learn his wisdom. He knew everything. He knew everything. I wish I wouldn't have forgot everything that he knew. I'd be a lot further on in life. But I'll tell you what I know now is I don't know very much, but I know that. I know that I'm saved. I know that Jesus Christ is my Savior. I know where I'm going to heaven when I die, and this book is written so you can know. You don't have to guess. These things are written, and you can show a person that. Would you like to know? Would you like to know? You know, if you run across some English-speaking people down there in Mexico or on the plane, that's a good place to start. Right? Can I show you? You know? I got them in my office. I don't have one on me this morning, but I carry one in my book bag. I carry one in my truck. I'll carry one in my pocket when I'm in Mexico, a little Soul Winner's New Testament. It's about that thick. It's about that big. Right? What is that? That's my dagger. That's my dagger. It's like that old dagger the Scots would wear. What do they call that thing? That little dirk. There's a certain name for it. I got one at the house. You stick it in your boot. When you walk into a house in Scotland in the old days, you put all your weapons at the door, but it was understood that you kept that. Right? You know what that New Testament is? It's right here, right? Anywhere you go, you can. I've led people to the Lord on the plane with my phone and the Bible app. It's weird, but this generation doesn't care. Right? I mean, it's a little weird. Did they get saved? I'm pretty sure they got saved, even off an iPhone. I believe it, right? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. Download that Bible app on your phone. You need to make sure you have a Bible. You got everything else on there. Amen. I don't have room. Well, delete Snapcrap and put the Bible on there. Amen. Now I'm preaching. I'm supposed to be helping. All right? All right? This book is written so you can know. So you can know. Okay, show them that. All right, now what's the first step? Look at Romans chapter 3. And this is just a basic augmented Romans road. Look at Romans chapter 3. You got to have this in your tool belt. Amen. What is this? This is ammo. This is ammo for evangelicals. All right? You got to be armed. Amen. We're in Kalispell, Montana. I don't even ask how many people are packing. You know, how many ladies got something in their purse? Man, can you imagine if someone came in here? This would be a rodeo. This would be an absolute rodeo. All right? You got to be a stinking pincushion. All right? Look at Romans chapter 3. Right? You're armed. Well, you're armed with the Word of God. You don't want to get caught with your pants down. Look at Romans chapter 3. Look at verse 10. Romans chapter 3. So arm yourself with Word. I think a lot of times we're in situations, but we don't have the training. That's all it is training. Right? The more training you get, the easier it gets. Right? You look at these guys, these guys that are really good shots. They're good at throwing axes. You know why? Because they train. They weren't born like that. Right? And the same with Christianity. Train a little bit. Train in the arts of war, spiritual warfare. Amen. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, look what he says here in verse 10. He says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Now that's the first verse on the Romans. We call that the Romans map to heaven, or the Romans road. You know who's righteous? Nobody. Nobody's righteous. You can get most people to agree with you on that. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not God. He says in verse 19, which isn't part of the Romans road, but he says that the whole world is guilty before God. Everybody's guilty before God. Okay? Romans is written like a courtroom. We're the judge of the whole earth, right? He sits at the bench, and one by one, humanity is brought before him and judged according to see if they are righteous or not, right? And there's none righteous, no, not one. The whole world is guilty before God. We've all sinned. Look what he says in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. He says this, for all, that's all. That's Muhammad and Buddha and Joseph Smith. For all have sinned. There's only one that hasn't sinned. Jesus Christ. The Bible says, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. The sinless, spotless Lamb of God. It's the only one that never sinned. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's heaven or salvation. The glory of God. You come short of that. All right, here's God in heaven, and he cannot let sin into heaven. Now we're being very basic this morning. Right? God is holy. The Bible says he's of more pure eyes than can behold iniquity. And the Bible says all have sinned and come short. Just haven't quite made it. Just come short of the glory of God. Right? Jesus Christ is God's standard of righteousness. When God wants to know when God shows you what is perfect and what is acceptable to him, he shows you the sinless Son of God. This is my beloved Son, Matthew 3, in whom I am well pleased. And then everyone else is measured by Jesus Christ. And can I tell you this? Not one of us measures up. Not one of us measures up. Not one of us compares. All have sinned. Me, you, everybody. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Jesus Christ is God's glory. Jesus Christ is God's standard of righteousness. Okay? So the first step is realizing you're a sinner. You got to know you're a sinner. Okay? Number two. Okay? And look, depending on the place the person's at, you can expound or not. You don't want to get too deep. Don't go in the weeds. But you can write this down. You know, don't take them to the flood. All right, not when it comes to leading someone to Christ, okay? 1 John 5:17, he defines sin. You know what it is? It's all unrighteousness is sin. Have you ever done anything that isn't right? Have you ever thought anything that isn't right? Okay, you sinned. Now listen, how many times you got to kill someone to be a murderer? How many times you got to lie to be a liar? How many times you got to sin to be a sinner? We're all in the same boat. We're all on the same island, Gilligan. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and sin separates us from God. It separates us from God. You can talk, listen, we were all in a garden. You can say this. I normally say this. Listen, the first man and first woman were Adam and Eve. They were in a perfect garden. Everything was right. And every day they walked and talked with God face to face as family and friends. And one thing happened that separated them from him forever. What was it? They sinned. They ate that fruit. God kicked them out of the garden. And they no longer walked and talked with God. It is sin that separates us from God. And by the way, every problem in this world and every problem in your life comes from that one act right there. Every stinking one of them. Right? God cursed this world. We live in the results of that sin. And the worst thing, beyond the cursed ground, beyond the horribleness of and pain of labor, the absolute, by far, worst thing about sin is that it keeps us from our God. Right. our Creator, who loved us. All right, now, you got that. Number two, they must understand the consequences of sin. Look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. And look what he says in verse 12. He says this, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world," that's Adam, "and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Everybody's a sinner. Look at Romans chapter 6. This is just the Romans road. Look at Romans chapter 6. You want to write these down. Write these down and have them in your Bible. Underline them. You can be ready to go. If you have the Bible you're going to use, make sure they're marked or underlined so you can go right to them. Look at Romans chapter 5, and 6, verse 23. The Bible says this, "For the wages of sin is death." All right? The wages of sin. What are wages? It's what you earn. What have you earned by sinning? You've earned death. That's what God pays out for death. Just like you go to work, right? And they pay you out money for the time you put in, right? What God pays out, right? What the universe even pays out, right? For sin is death. Sin results in death. Okay, the wages of sin is death. Death is what is paid for sin. That's right. They say this, you do the crime, you do the time, right? Okay. How are you gonna pay for a sin against an eternal holy God? By eternal death, not eternal life. Now, when you get to that point, I always go over to Revelation 20. Look at most of the time. Depends on what the person knows. All right, but when you say the wages of sin is death, there's only 4 points here, okay? We're on number two. The wages of sin is death. Revelation chapter 20. Now look what he says. Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. You don't have to go into everything about how we're spiritually dead and all of those things. Okay? Look what he says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 14. "And death." And death, that's all the dead. "And hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." You know where the unbelieving dead go? They go to the lake of fire. That's what the Bible says. That's why the Bible talks about being saved. You know what that word saved means? It means rescued or delivered. Rescued from what? A lake of fire. That's the end of sin. That's the end of sin. That's where people are going without Christ. Lake of fire. So I go there. Now, you want to get out of that? You want to get out of that? I sure did. I sure did. Look at Romans chapter 5. I'm careful with that verse, by the way, when I talk to real young people. Every kid will pray with you if you dangle them over hell. But be careful about that. Every kid. "I don't want to go to the burning place." They'll pray anything, man. Be careful about that. You got to use some wisdom. That's why he says, "Be wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Amen. Look, Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. But some people need to hear it. Some people need to hear it. Amen. You're going to hell, dude. Tough guy. You're going to hell. Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 8. "But God commendeth." God showed his love toward us. Whew, amen. But God, what are you? You're a sinner. You're bound for hell, separated from God. You're in a bad place. I was in a bad place, just like everyone else in this room. The Bible says, without hope and without God in this world. But God, amen, commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. One of the greatest verses in the Bible. It doesn't say that when we stopped sinning and God said, "I think I'll give you a shot," Christ died for us. In our sinful condition, Christ died for us. While you get saved while you're still a sinner. You don't wait to clean up your act. You'll never be able to clean it up. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So if the wages of sin is death, someone paid the wages in our place. Amen. Just like if you got a Some of you got a traffic ticket, and I heard someone's just about to get their license, and you get busted, and you have to pay a fine, and Dad, I just spent it all on my car. I can't pay for the tickets. I got the insurance in the car. And your dad just this one time, you know what he does? He says, I'll go down there and pay it for you. Right? He paid the wages. He paid the fine. You know what Jesus Christ did? He saw that we could not pay for our sins. I mean, what are you going to offer God? What do you think he needs? You can go up and write him a check. You're going to live a good life? Impress him? You can impress Jesus Christ with your good life. Right? What are you going to pay to God Almighty? All the gold in the world wouldn't impress him. He walks on it. He walks on it. The only thing that pleases him is the precious blood of his only begotten Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died in our place. Amen. Much more now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Show that the wages of sin were paid by someone else. Now, I like to go over here. Now, some of the verses I gave you were introductory. You understand? The Romans road is 3:10, 3:23, maybe 1 John 5:17, then I got 5:12, 6:23. I got Revelation 20. I got Romans 5. Okay, and I like to go here, 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. It's a good one. It's a good one. 2 Corinthians 5. There's other ones. And, you know, as you go along, you'll learn some, and you can, you know, depends on a person's background. If you're over there like Andy Hearn in Nepal, you're in a totally different deal. You're in the book of John, right? You're talking about God and his image, and if Jesus Christ is God, and that kind of stuff. A different deal, right? But for the Western world, this is good. This is real good. Look at what he says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 21. For he, that's God, hath made him, that's Jesus, to be, what's the next three words? Sin for us. The wages of sin is death. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary, the Bible says that he was made sin for us. He became the personification of sin. He became sin. Must God judge sin? I like to ask people that. I said, here's a guy right here. Broke into this house, shot this person. Okay? Crippled them for life. Then they go to the judge, and the judge gives them a year. Gives them 2 years plus probation or whatever. You say, do you think that's a fair judge? No, that's not a fair judge. A righteous judge has to punish the crime. God is a righteous judge, and he will punish sin. But God is a loving God. How does he balance his justice and his love? There's only one way to do it. Through the cross of Jesus Christ. God found a way to satisfy his justice and his love on the cross of Calvary by offering up himself for our sins. Well, you can't pay it, so I guess I'll pay it. You know, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, my parents made me eat my vegetables. And there's one thing I didn't like, and that was canned peas. I don't think canned peas are rough. I remember sitting at the table for an hour until you finished your vegetables, and they just got colder. They started growing bacteria, and they get those little peas would get up and walk off the plate. Sit there so long. And Dad, Dad was not unkind, but he was when he said something, he meant it, and we knew it. But I remember, you know, once in a while, I'd be sitting there, tears streaming down my face. Sometimes he'd walk by the table and he'd say, hey, you can do that. Come on. And he'd come over and he'd grab the spoon. Come on. And he'd stick a few in my mouth and then he'd go like this. He'd take that spoon. And he'd say, I'll help you. And he'd finish. You know what he's doing? He's taking my punishment. Eating the peas. And canned peas were punishment. You know what the Lord said? He says, you ain't never going to do this. I gave you the law, the Ten Commandments. You're breaking them. I can't even keep track. And I can keep track pretty good. Yeah. He said, I'll do it for you. I'll die for you. You dying for it, it's not going to bring me any pleasure anyways. Amen. The Bible says about Christ that God saw the travail of his soul and was satisfied. That's what satisfied God, was the death of his Son. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. He was a sinless sacrifice that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You understand? You understand what God did when you got saved? Here's David Abman, right here. And this is all his sins. That's way too thin. Way too thin. Stack them up. And here's Jesus Christ, right? And here's his righteousness, his holiness, his purity, right? His goodness, his godliness, everything that makes him the perfect man, the Son of God, right? And when I trusted Jesus Christ, he took the sins of David Havman and he said, this is the sin of Jesus Christ. And he took the righteousness of Jesus Christ and said, this is the life of David Havman. Now that's a deal. Now you want to pass that one up? I'll tell you what that is. That's the deal of the century right there. Now, how do you get it? How do you get it? All right, take your Bible and go to John chapter 3. You know this one. Everybody knows this. Now, this isn't on the. This is the augmented Romans road. All right, you can simplify it. It depends on the person. You can beef it up. Depends on the situation. Look at Romans chapter 5. 1 John chapter 3. I don't even need to go here. You know this one. But you know it, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen? Now I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 2. So God saw us in our sinful condition, and he loved us, and he gave Jesus Christ. He offered him. The Bible says God so loved the world that he what? Gave. So Jesus Christ is offered to us as a gift. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, and this is a very important verse. Ephesians chapter 2, look what he says in verse 8. He says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Got to get it. Gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you can earn it, why did he die? It's a gift. It's a gift. The Lord is not going to let you get any glory for your salvation. He ain't going to let you get up to heaven and be like, well, whew, I made it. Right? Think the Lord's going to allow that in his perfect glory? No. He has to offer it as a gift. So you get up there and say, thank you. Didn't deserve it. No, I'm not like you. No, I'm not good enough. No, I could never live up. And you give all the glory to God. Right? It's the gift of God. It's offered as a free gift. Salvation cannot be earned. It cannot be earned. You cannot work for it. It has to be received as a gift. Okay? Look at now at Romans chapter 10. Romans. So what do? It's offered as a free gift to us. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. So what do? Now, at this point, I might just ask a person, now, do you believe that? Do you believe that you're a sinner? Do you believe that you're under the condemnation of God? Do you believe that sin separates you from God and you deserve for your sin to be separated from God and go to hell? Do you believe that? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, as the Bible said, died for your sins and rose again? Right? That's where you get eternal life. Right? Eternal life comes from Jesus Christ because death can't hold him, right? Do you believe that Jesus died and rose again for your sins? Do you believe that? Yes, I do. Okay, so this is what you have to do. Look at Romans chapter 10 and look at verse 9. That if thou shalt confess, that's admit, right? Confess. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Look what he says in verse 13. For whosoever, who's that? That's everyone. That's you, that's me. Amen. That's Hazel and Jace and Miss Julie and Brother Jason. Amen. Brother Schwartz, it's everybody. Brother Ron, it's all of us. Whosoever, anybody. Doesn't matter what church, doesn't matter what color. Amen. Amen, amen. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? You believe that? You believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins? You believe that He's the only way to God? You believe that He is who you receive forgiveness through? Do you believe that? Okay, now you just need to ask Him. You need to ask Him. You need to trust Him, right? It's one thing to know it here. It's another thing to receive it here. Okay? And this is what I like to tell people. Look, man, I bought you a ticket for the concert. It's $150, you know, whatever. It's $500 for a front row, you know, or whatever it is. I bought it for you. I know you can't afford it. What do? I'm going to send you the QR code, right? You have to scan it when you get up there. Or, you know, in the old days, they had a will call booth, and you would just go up and say, hey, and you would give them your ID, and they would give you the ticket that I bought. Okay? I could say this. I just bought you a ticket to fly to L.A., right? You say, what do I have to do? Show up at the airport and give them your ID. I already paid for it. Salvation has been paid for in Jesus Christ. You just need to pick up the ticket. Yeah. You just need to receive it. Okay? You need to own it. All right? As many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Right? I mean, for you, for my younger friends, all you have to do is click to accept. All right? I acknowledge the terms and conditions. No, I did not read them, but I did follow the Romans road. Amen. Sign off on it. All right. Now, that book says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. All right. So you have to ask the question, do you understand? And would you like to receive Christ as your Savior? Right. Would you like to? Now, at that point, what do? Depends on the person. Some people, right there, they pray and they ask God to save them. They ask Christ to save them. Right there on their own. And those are great. And I've heard those prayers. A lot of times people are a little unsure. They're a little embarrassed. And so I say, I'll help you. Right? I'll help you pray. We're going to pray something like this. Lord, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've done things that have displeased You. And I know that I deserve to be judged and go to hell. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again. And right now, the best way I know how, I'm trusting You as my personal Savior to take, please forgive my sins and take me to heaven when I die. Something like that. And I'd say, you can repeat this after me. Sometimes you have to be careful because some people are really big on just reciting prayers. Their religion teaches them to recite prayers, right? Well, it's like a magic token. Recite this prayer, you go to heaven. No, they need to understand that you are actually talking to God here and you're praying this in your heart. That you're actually, that's very important, right? So, you know, you want to be a little careful with that. But don't, you know, listen. I've seen people pray and tears and fireworks and I never saw them again. And I've seen people with zero facial expression, right? Yep. You want to pray? Yep. You need me to help you on praying your own? Why don't you help me? I help them pray, right? They get saved and they follow Jesus Christ the rest of their life. So I don't, you know, don't. I know that we need to see something amazing when someone gets saved, but remember that it's a miracle that happens inside. Okay? Just remember that. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. All right, so lead them in a prayer or let them pray by themselves and then close in prayer. And then I'd like to just go back to 1 John 5 where it says, these things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know. Right? He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And after the prayer, I look at them and I say this. I say, did you call on the name of the Lord? Yes. Did you mean it? Yeah. Hey, bro. You're saved. Welcome, brother. It is that easy. It is that easy. I'm not an easy believer, but I believe in the simplicity of salvation. Yeah. Amen. Amen. That's how to lead someone to Jesus Christ. That's the augmented Romans road. Well, how about you this morning? Do you have someone that you need to talk to about being saved? If you do, put this in your tool bag. Put this in your tool bag and use it when you can. Secondly, maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You're a good old boy. You're a good girl. You know, you've always believed in Jesus. But there's never been a time or a place in your life when you willfully accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and knew what you were doing. Okay? If that's you this morning, why don't you take care of it today? Today's a good day. Okay? We're going to bow our heads for prayer. We're going to have a time of prayer here.